Welcome, Havoyim. Welcome, everybody. It's good to be back to continue our series of 1,000 Shiurim and Yirtzeh Hashem on secrets of successful parenting. This evening we begin number 26. We're going to talk this evening about a very important topic, a topic which the Gemara in Masechta Erechin says that nobody knows. Gemara in Masechta Erechin of Tezayin Amid Beis says, Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Timihani, I'd be amazed in Yesh Bedor Hazeh Shiyoidei Elohi Chiyach, if there's somebody nowadays that knows how to give criticism. Isn't that an amazing statement? He would be amazed if there's anybody in the generation that knows how to properly give criticism. Now, we know as Torah Jews, giving criticism is a very important part of our development. And as parents, giving criticism to our children is crucial. Children may not agree all the time, but as parents we know, and we've certainly given criticism, not once, and not dozens, but hundreds of times throughout our children's life. And the Gemara says that there's a skill involved in giving criticism properly. And if you don't know how to give criticism properly, it can backfire and do more harm than good. And therefore, we're going to dedicate this evening's topic to how to properly criticize your children. Of course, even after tonight's shir, the Gemara in Erechin will still apply. That it'll be amazing if we find somebody that really knows how to do it, but at least we could try to improve our technique. Now, Rashi says over here why it's so amazing that there's somebody that knows how to give Teichocha. Says Rashi, Shiyoidei Elohi Chiyach, that knows how to properly criticize, Derech Kovoid, with respect, with honor. Now, Kovoid in Lashon HaKodesh is translated in two different ways. It's translated to mean respect, and it's translated to mean honor. Respect and honor are two different things. You can honor somebody and have no respect for him whatsoever. Case in point, the guest of honor by dinners. You can honor somebody and give him an award and behind his back think that he's a big shmendrik. Just because you honor somebody and you lavish on him various different prizes doesn't mean that you respect him in the slightest. Honor is actions. Respect is an emotion. This means both over here. Criticize in an honorable way and with respect. Lo yihu ponov mishtanin, so that he should not be embarrassed, he should not be humiliated. The trick that nobody knows is how to criticize somebody without humiliating him, without embarrassing him, without him feeling humiliated. And we've seen cases, experience has taught us that if a child is humiliated by the parents, when the parents criticize, an extreme case is where the parents criticize the child in front of people. It's the worst thing in the world. Humiliation can take a kid and drive him straight off the derech. Most parents have enough seichel to realize that you don't criticize your child in public. You don't criticize anybody in public, that's the truth. You're over on an Isser Deiraisa. Loisisol of Chet. Rashi says in Chumash, it's the Gemara here in Erechin, that you're not allowed to criticize somebody in public. There are exceptions, but as a rule, that's the halacha. Your children, especially, because it could do such damage to criticize your children in front of people. And it's not only because the children are embarrassed or humiliated in front of others, but because children always have to believe, always, that the parents are on their side. Now, being on their side does not mean to approve of everything that they do. I'm sure you have friends and you mean their well-being and you're on their side and you tell them, friend, what you're doing is counterproductive. What you're doing is wrong. You should do something different than what you're doing now. And that doesn't mean you're not on their side. Be on somebody's side does not mean that you have to approve of what they do. What it means is that your child feels that you always have their interests first. Sometimes a parent is embarrassed at what a child does in public. Let's say a parent has guests on the Shabbos table, and the parent is embarrassed at what the child does. And the parent will lash out and criticize the child in front of his friends. Now the parent may delude himself into thinking that the reason why he's embarrassing his child in front of these people is because he feels it's actually for the child's benefit. 99.9% of the time it's not. But rather the reason the parent is doing it is because the parent is embarrassed in front of his friends. And in order for the parent to alleviate his own humiliation, his own sense of embarrassment in front of his friends, he has to distance himself from the embarrassing act that the child did. He has to distance himself from the humiliating behavior and from the person that's generating the humiliation, namely his child. It's the parent who's interested in himself that does that. It's like telling my friends, I have nothing to do with this. I have nothing to do with this kid right now. And even though the parents may not consciously think that, it's an instinctive reaction. Nobody likes humiliation. And this father who was humiliated doesn't like it. And his body, his organism, his psyche teaches him how to alleviate that painful feeling of humiliation by showing that you are not linked to the child that created the humiliation. And the child understands that. The reason why children are so devastated when parents embarrass them in front of other people, when parents criticize them, is not merely because they're being publicly embarrassed like they would be by a friend in school, let's say, although that itself is enough reason to devastate somebody. And it's not merely because they look at the parent as being disloyal, because they feel that the parent just would rather alleviate their own humiliation. They would rather get rid of their own pain at their expense. You are using your child in such a case to get rid of your own humiliation. Parents have to think very carefully into why they criticize their children. It says all over our Sfarim that in criticizing children there's only one reason to do it. One heter to cause this child pain, and that is for his own good. Now, if a child makes you angry and you yell at him, and parents yell at children, you have to think very, very hard if you're doing it for the child's good or you're doing it out of your own anger. I'll tell you how to differentiate. Let's say a child, little kid, maybe 5 years old, 4 years old, or even younger, takes his mother's diamond ring and flushes it down the toilet. Mother gets angry. Maybe takes the little kid, depending upon his age, gives him a little spank on the wrist and says, no, no, don't do that. Child's a little older, the mother maybe yells at the child. Now, of course, the child deserves to be yelled at, right? Because he threw something down the toilet. And children are not supposed to play with the toilet. They're not supposed to throw things down there. But how much of the parents' anger is because they lost their diamond ring? Take the case a little differently. It wasn't a diamond ring that the child flushed down the toilet, but rather a little piece of aluminum foil that he pulled out of the garbage. Now, as far as the child is concerned, the act is exactly the same, because the child does not know the difference between a shiny diamond ring and a shiny piece of aluminum foil. The crime that the child committed, the amount of rebelliousness, a kaviyocho that a little kid can harbor, the violation that the child did is the exact same It has the exact same severity when the child destroys the diamond ring as when the child destroys the piece of aluminum foil, because the child doesn't know the difference. Unfortunately, though, the amount of anger that the parent has, the amount of righteous indignation that the parent eludes themselves into thinking that they have, is much greater when they lose the diamond ring than when they lose the piece of aluminum foil. So tell me, is the parent really trying to be mechanech the child not to commit this act? Or is the parent really taking out the pain and the suffering of their loss of the diamond ring on this child? A way to determine if you are criticizing your children for their sake or for your sake is just figure out how much damage was done to you. And imagine if there would be no damage done to you, but the child just committed this act. Imagine if instead of flushing the diamond ring down the toilet, he would have done it to a piece of aluminum foil. Imagine how you would react. If you're the type of parent that wouldn't care, say, oh, haha, that's so cute. And you have to react the same way when he destroys your diamond ring. Anything else is just taking out your anger on the kid. And if indeed there are cases where you do criticize the child, and cases where you don't criticize the child, despite the fact that the child's behavior in both sets of cases was equally wrong, if indeed the child did flush the aluminum foil and he got a smile and a snicker, and then the child did flush the ring and he got a spanking, then that child is in big danger. Because that child is receiving confusing messages. That child has no idea of what's right and what's wrong. That child is not getting chinuch, that child is getting contradictory messages from his parents. And that leads to confusion. And confusion is the greatest enemy of a child. Confusion leads to fear. And in order to alleviate fear, children, especially in adolescence, will do almost anything. So, the first lesson, the first principle, and unfortunately it does need to be said, is that you never criticize your child in front of other people. If you have a need to do so, take him out privately and mention it to him. Or if it's an exceptional case where a child will not respond to anything except public criticism, then there are tremendous problems already. And we're not talking about an exceptional case. As a rule, preventative measures is that you do not criticize it. You don't criticize anybody in public, as I said, it's a halacha. But if you criticize your child in public, there's tremendous damage that could be done. More than that, let's assume we're not talking about publicly humiliating a child. Let's assume we're just talking about toichocha in private. Sometimes parents show emotion when they criticize. Sometimes parents don't. You know the difference between toichocha and musar? They both mean criticism, loosely translated. But they really mean two totally different things. When you give somebody musar and you give them toichocha. Toichocha comes from the Lashon HaKodesh word hoichocha, which means a proof, means enlightenment. Toichocha means to enlighten somebody that what they are doing is wrong. You're educating them. Or, if they know it already, you're reminding them. You're chazering the fact with them that what they're doing is wrong. It's hoichocha. Musar comes from the Lashon HaKodesh word yesurim, which means pain. Musar is punishment. Musar is sharp words. That's what musar is. Here in the Gemara we're talking about toichocha. Cheach toichiach doesn't mean necessarily to give musar. It means to give toichocha. It means that you should calmly teach the child and explain to the child that what they're doing is wrong. If the child knows it already, so you repeat it again. Emotion, if at all possible, anger if at all possible, should not be shown when Toichocha is being given. I'll explain why in a moment. You know when to show emotion? When the child comes home with a report card and he gets straight A's. That's when to show emotion. Pretty often parents do just the opposite. When a child does something wrong, they go into a rage. How could you do this? Oh my gosh, what did you do? When a child comes home with something to be proud of, the parents of course will say, oh, I'm so proud of you, Rachela, pat her on the head, and give her supper. That's a terrible inconsistency. That shows a child that the parent is more impacted, is more affected by the negative that they do than the positive. We know, and it's a pasuk in Mishlei, that your true feelings are revealed not so much by your words, but by your emotions. Ish lefima haloloi. A person is judged by what he gets excited about. That's what the pasuk means, Rabbeinu Yonah. A person is judged by what they get excited about. Most parents get excited when the children do something wrong. When the children do something good, that's a different story. When your child comes home with something to be proud of, you have to show pride. You have to be beaming with emotion. The child has to see that you really, really, really are affected and that his positive behavior really impacted on you. It made a dent. It made a roshim. It made an impression. A child has to see that. Best tone of voice to give a child toichocha in is the same tone of voice that you say, pass the butter. Achala, you can't do that. It's the best way to say no also, by the way. You know, when a child comes and they want something, and it comes time where the parent has to say no, if you want to say no in a way that the child probably won't argue, or reduce the probabilities of him arguing, is if you say no in a very calm, pass the butter voice. If you say no with an emotional voice, emotional voice that conveys hostility or anger, and it's only natural for a human being to respond to that negative energy, that hostility, hostility back. If you say no, as if you expect, you have to say it with confidence, you expect the child to listen. Then you go back to reading your sefer. As if, well, of course, you ask me a question. Let's say a child would come to you and say, did Yehoshua come with the Yidden in Teretz Yisrael? Say, 2488. And then you go back to what you're doing. The same answer, the same attitude should be given when a child comes and says, well, can I go out tonight to go swimming? You want to say no? You say no, and that's it. With a smile on your face, a question was asked and the answer was given. He was seeking information and you enlightened him with information. To say no to a child means to give him information. The information is, no, you may not do this. It's not a command. It's not a demand. It shouldn't be given as a mussar, because it's not. The kid asked permission. It should be given as information. No, you may not. Now, the first time, the child's not used to this. So he'll argue anyway. The second time, he'll argue anyway. But this has been found to drastically reduce the amount of resistance that children have to parents. If you give over the no message in a way that you give over any type of information. No hostility, no anger, and with confidence that the answer was accepted, b'sever ponim yofus. Just like you have confidence that he believes you about the year the Jews crossed the Yarden. You'd be surprised how much children are influenced by their parents, how much they look to their parents to see how they should feel. You have a 2-year-old baby that slips in the house and falls banging their head. And the mother looks at the baby and the mother goes, oh my gosh, what happened to you? Because the mother gets scared. Well, we know the baby's going to start crying. But if the mother comes over with a smile and a laugh and picks up the baby and gives a kiss and says, "Oh, look what happened." The baby laughs also. The baby's not crying because he fell. The baby's crying because he's frightened. The reason why he's frightened is because he saw his mother was frightened. And he looks to his mother right after he falls because he's confused. He's not sure what happened. So he looks to his mother as if to say, "Mommy, please tell me how I should feel." And if the mother's frightened, the kid gets petrified. And if the mother's not scared or the mother's confident, the mother thinks it's funny, that's how the kid's going to think. And adolescent children do the exact same thing. And 5-year-olds and 10-year-olds also do. They look to their parents to see how they should respond. And if they come to ask permission for something, and the parents respond with fighting words, with a fighting attitude, the type of attitude that you give your enemy, or the type of attitude that you give to somebody that wants to start a fight, you are sending a message to your children that this is now a fight. Child asks you something, they say, "No way! No way." Those are fighting words. And it's not the words, it's the attitude, the tone of voice. Parents often do it in order to end the fight right then and there. "I'm going to put my foot down." Put your foot down on what? The child asks the question. And you're thinking, "Well, I know him. He always asks questions and he never listens." It's a catch-22. It's a chayza chalila. It's a revolving door. The more you try to end the fight, the more the child will receive a message that there is a fight here, and he will respond accordingly with a fight. If the tone of voice that you use is, "There is no fight here. You asked me a question, I gave you an answer," with no attitude behind it. "You asked for information, may I go?" The answer is, "No, you may not go, I'm giving you information." Casually, nonchalantly, Messiah kefi tumoy. That's the way it has to be done. That's giving toichocho. Telling a child he can't go somewhere isn't toichocho. But if you do your toichocho with that tone of voice, that's giving toichocho with respect. That's with kovod. Hostility is not kovod. Give a person respect means, "Okay, I'm going to teach you something now, and I have confidence that you're going to understand it. I have confidence that you really want the answer because you asked the question. I have confidence that you're really going to listen." You may think that the reason your children listen, the reason the children don't listen, rather, is because they just don't listen, and because they don't listen, therefore you don't have confidence in them listening. Usually it's the opposite. The reason why they don't listen is because you have no confidence in them listening, which, by the way, may be justified, a justified lack of confidence. But it just accelerates itself. Even if you really believe that your child will not listen to what you say, you have to say it in a tone of voice, make believe, as if you actually believe that the child will listen. That child is looking to his parents saying, "Should I listen to you or should I? Do I listen to you or do I not? What type of child am I? What does my mother look at me as?" And he gets a message, "Well, my mother thinks that I don't listen." And that becomes a self-fulfilling attitude, self-fulfilling prophecy. Worst emotion that a parent can have towards a child is fear. Often parents are scared of their children. Not necessarily scared that the child will hurt the parent, although that's also true. I've had parents come to me and say, "I'm so scared. He seems as if he's going to hit me." The more scared you are, the more scared he is of himself. And a child thinks to himself, "What type of child is it? What type of child am I that I make my mother scared of me?" No, for a child to see his parents scared in general is a traumatic experience. It makes them nervous. Children always like to see their parents confident and put together. If they see their parents are scared, maybe they're scared of because of parnosa reasons, maybe they're scared because of other, whatever the reason is, it builds up a lot of negative nervousness in a child. But that's life. That can't always be helped. Children have to learn that life is sometimes hazardous, but if the fear is due to the child himself, if he is the cause of the fear, if he's generating the fear, What does that say to the child about himself? I am causing my mother to be scared of me. I must be a monster. Just like that little baby that falls, looks to the mother, and if the mother is scared, the child is scared. Of what? The child doesn't know what to be scared of. All he knows is the mother is scared. It's the same thing with teenagers. If the parents are scared, parents are scared that the child will go too far. When child asks the parent, can I come home a little late tonight? The mother says, yeah, in a tone of voice that clearly conveys the message that she's petrified that the child's going to come at 4 in the morning home. That child gets scared of himself. Children need parents to be there for them and not to fall apart and not to be scared and not to be frightened. Now sometimes you got to be crazy not to be scared because only normal. But you know what? As parents, we have to try at least, at the very, very least, to act as if we're not. Havdil elef havdalos. I don't mean to make a comparison. It's an analogy. It's not a dimyun, it's a mushal. You know when you're walking down the street and a dog starts barking at you? Know if you get scared and start running, that's the worst thing to do. He's going to run straight after you. You got to stay there and make believe that you're not shaking in your pants, even though you're petrified. But at least you got to make believe that you're not, and perhaps you'll convince this dog to leave you alone. And then it will. The nimshal is the same thing with children. Now, there are certain children that are more susceptible to being scared of themselves. And that's the goal. We have to make sure our children are not scared of themselves. I'll tell you the high-risk bracket for this type of thing. And the children we deal with, the problems that we've come across, there's a disproportionately large amount of children with a certain type of learning disability. Now, I want to make it clear that I'm not talking about children that are just weak in school, or children that are not very bright. Those children we don't have a disproportionate amount of problems with. It's the children that have a learning disability in one area. And I'll explain to you what happens here. If you have a child that's bright, that's smart, and knows it, the child takes a test in school and scores a 40. Even though he studied all night. Say child has a learning disability, whatever the case may be. That child becomes confused. He's thinking, I'm smart. I know that. My friends know that. Why can't I do this? No matter how hard he tries, he just can't do it. The expectations are never met with actual satisfaction. That causes frustration. The definition of frustration is expectations that are not being met. That leads to frustrations. And that frustration leads to confusion because the child doesn't understand, what is with me? What is going on here? Now you're talking about a child who's too young to be able to explain to him, well, you have a learning disability, let me explain it. Children are not born with the intellectual capacity of 18-year-olds. Maybe it's before the child was even diagnosed. The child doesn't understand this language. All the child knows is that he doesn't understand what's going on. You know what it's like? You take a car and you turn the wheel to the right, the car goes to the right. And you turn it to the left, it goes to the left. People are like that too. You take action in a certain direction and consequences happen in that direction. You study hard for a test, you get a better mark. Relative, of course, to your capabilities. You don't study, you get a worse mark. Relative to your lack of doing well on a test without studying. But what happens if a child turns the car to the right and sometimes the car goes to the left? What is he going to do? What happens if a child studies hard for the test and doesn't do well? And has nothing to do with his capabilities because he knows that he's smart. That's frustrating. And that's confusing because it's an inherent contradiction. Frustration, confusion and frustration lead to fear. Because the child doesn't know what's going to happen when he turns that wheel. Will he go to the left? Will he go to the right? Will he sink? Will he break down? He doesn't know what's going to happen. He feels out of control of his own destiny. He feels that his actions do not have a relationship with consequences. He feels the world is random and what happens to him is out of his control. See, if a child just isn't bright, he doesn't have those expectations. He knows he's a Gimel student, a Dalit student. He does his best. He gets his marks. He doesn't. It's the expectation. It's the ability to accomplish intellectually in other areas that fools the child, tricks the child into thinking that he is quote-unquote smart across the board. She is smart, but because of his disability, it won't help him that he's smart. And to him, that's a stira. To him, that's confusion. They grow up scared of themselves. They don't believe in the rules anymore. What goes up doesn't necessarily come down. 1 + 1 may or may not equal 2. In this kid's world, it's random. He doesn't have control. He believes only in one thing, in the strength of his right arm. He believes only in what he can get himself. Because that's consistent. Confusion leads to fear. The child is scared of himself. Like driving, and you don't know where the car is going to turn if you move the wheel to the right. Will it crash into the pole? Will it crash into another car? Or will it go safely into the right lane? It's terrible for a child. And it's terribly confusing. The children with the learning disability that often grow up scared of themselves. When they grow up scared of themselves, they're at tremendous risk. People who are scared don't follow the rules because they don't believe in rules. They don't understand what's going to be. The yesod, the principle, the basis, the foundation of discipline is that actions have consequences. Responsibility means what? Responsibility means that you are capable of controlling what happens to you. You wake up in the morning, you are responsible. It is your achrayas. That's responsibility. If a child believes that his actions don't necessarily lead to parallel consequences, the child loses all sense of responsibility. The child loses all sense of discipline. Very difficult. You can control it sometimes with outside methods of discipline. The same way that you can control animals, you take an electric shock if they move this way and that way, and with parallel methods of punishment, you can sometimes control the kid, but there's no inner sense of responsibility, no inner sense of self-discipline. That's a big problem. That's the high-risk bracket. But every child is capable of being made to fear themselves. That's if the parents are scared. We have to know when to show emotion and when not to show emotion. Too often we show emotion when something negative happens. And we don't show emotion when something positive happens. The truth is just the opposite. When you want to give a child criticism, you should say it with as little emotion as possible. You should say it with concern. You should say it in earnest. You should say it with seriousness. You should say it with confidence. The child will listen. There should be no fear. There should be no anger. And by doing so, you are maximizing your chances of obedience. But when something positive happens, you should become ecstatic. You become ecstatic. You don't have to be unrealistically ecstatic, but your child has to see the pride in you. He has to see that he made an impact. That positive things really have an effect on the world. The first part of the world is the parents. The way children grow up and they see the way their home works, that's the way they think the world works. They see that positive accomplishments have an impact on their parents. That teaches them that positive actions have an impact on the world. And positive actions mean something in the world. And that's a wonderful lesson for children to learn. I'll tell you another case where we often mix up our need to show emotion and not. If your child, Cholila, is wronged, is harmed by someone else, comes to the father to complain or to the mother to complain, and I'm talking about all different types of harm. The father or the mother need to show the child anger against the person that did the harm. Very often when children, you don't have to, Cholila, do anything. You have to go out with a baseball bat after the person. But you have to want to. Children know about taivas and temptations and desires, and that not everything we feel we have to act upon. Your children want you to feel the Yetzirah to hit that person with a baseball bat. And you should. That's a good Yetzirah to feel. Your children need to know that their pain is your pain. You can teach a child that just because somebody harms you doesn't mean you have to harm them back. You don't take nekama. But imagine if you would try to teach your child that just because somebody harms you, you shouldn't harbor any painful, you shouldn't even harbor any desire to harm them back. Your children need to see that their pain is your pain. We try to minimize very often. We try to teach our children not to take nekama by minimizing the severity of it and by hiding our anger at the person that harmed our children. Even people that don't get angry when their children are harmed. We try to hide that anger and not show it because we feel that if we do, we're teaching our children to take nekama, we're teaching our children to be angry. No, we're not teaching our children to take nekama. We're not teaching our children to be angry. We're teaching our children that their pain is our pain. If somebody hurts them, they hurt us. We teach them restraint. You know what restraint is? Restraint means that when you want to do something, you don't do it. But wanting to do it is a different story. It's important parents should stick up for their children. Be on their side doesn't mean you have to approve of everything they do. But at least to be on their side. Children can smell out emotions. A parent that dislikes their child, no matter how they act, the child can tell. A parent that is indifferent to a child's accomplishments. A parent that only responds when something negative happens. Sends a message to the child. Negative actions make an impact, and positive actions don't count. It's a terrible message to send to a child. In short, our emotions affect the way our children will react. They look to us to seek a proper response on their part by what they see reflected in us, in our eyes, in our hearts. If they see fear in us, they're going to be scared of themselves. If they see confidence, they're going to be confident in themselves. If they see a lack of confidence, they're going to have a lack of confidence in themselves. The way we feel about our children is the way our children will feel about themselves. And this is nothing that you need a tremendous goyin, a great psychologist to teach us. Every mother knows this when they see their two-year-old slip and bang their head. Every mother knows that the child is looking to the mother to see how he should react. Should I feel fear, the child is thinking. Should I feel confident, the child is thinking. And the way the mother reacts, that's the way the child reacts. That speaking of self-image in the actions and the attitudes of the parents never ever stops. A child can be 5 or 15 or 35. Parents' attitude towards the child has a tremendous effect on the child. And so, if you want your child be a certain way, think of him in that way. Make believe if it's not so. The way you think of your child, the way you act towards your child, that's what's going to be reflected inside your child. If you're giving him teichocha, if you're telling him something bad, you tell it to him with a voice that shows confidence that he's going to listen. If you have confidence he's going to listen, the chances are maximized that he's going to listen. If you have confidence, if you're sure there's going to be an argument, you know what? I'm also sure there's going to be an argument. If you tell me that you're sure, your parent comes to me and says, well, I know for a fact that whenever I tell my child something, he's always going to argue. I tell them, I know for a fact you're right. You may be justified in your belief, but if you want to do your child a toiva, ignore it. You have to have the confidence. That's called giving somebody teichocha with respect. Respect and covet that the child will listen. This respect means, I know you're not going to listen. That's not teichocha already. Teichocha means enlightenment. Enlighten the child. The way you speak to him, that's the way he's going to respond. Now at this point, questions from the audience. Now the custom here in this shul is that the any women that have questions, write their questions down on a piece of paper and Henry will go collect them and bring them up. Okay, question. The example of the child destroying the ring as opposed to the child destroying the aluminum foil. Don't we want to teach the child the value of a diamond also? Yes, sure we do. But a child that is that young is not going to learn the value of a diamond. That's not the point of what we want to teach the child now. We want to teach the child, stay away, don't throw things into the bathroom. That's all we want to teach the child. The value of the diamond would teach them when they get it. They're not old enough for that. Have you used other means to teach the child the value of the diamond? No. Not at that age. And it'll be okay to teach the child the value of valuable things. But you're fooling yourself into thinking that that's what you're doing. You're only attacking the child because of your loss. Child only understands, don't throw things down this bathroom. That's all the child understands. Child will not understand the value of the ring. Child's not going to know the difference. Little kid. If the child is older, well then of course you can explain it to them. I'm talking about little kids. And I'm talking about a parent really digging down deep and trying to understand. Believe me, that parent that gets so angry at the ring being flying and gets angry at the kid, what's motivating him is not, well, I'm going to teach my child the value of the diamond ring. That's not what's motivating the parent. What's motivating the parent is taking out the pain of their loss on the source of that loss, which is the child. That's not chinuch. That's using the child as a battering ram. Using the child, if somebody has frustrations to take out, let them, smash the wall, because the Gemara doesn't speak highly about somebody that breaks things in anger. So I can't say, let him hit a punching bag or something. But taking it out on a child is not chinuch. That's using a child as a punching bag. Emotions, when you give teichocha, the child will feel it wasn't so bad. After all, the parent didn't get so angry. Yeah, if the parent gets angry at other things and doesn't get angry at this, then maybe you're right. But I have to tell you something. There's a difference between showing emotion at the child and showing emotion for the cause. I'll tell you a story that illustrates this. There was once a Rav that was giving a drasha in a shul. And the Rav told a story about somebody in Radin, a bacher in the yeshiva by the Chafetz Chaim, who was caught smoking on Shabbos. They immediately brought the boy to the Chafetz Chaim. He was in the room with the Chafetz Chaim for about a minute and came out, was never Mechal Shabbos again. The Rav said at the drasha, I wish I knew what it was that the Chafetz Chaim told him in that minute. from the audience in the back, there was a man that raises his hand with tears in his eyes and says, I was that boy. And I'll tell you what the Chafetz Chaim did. Chafetz Chaim walked over to me. He got up out of his chair, walked over to me. Chafetz Chaim was a little man. He came up to my chest. And he took my two hands in his hands. And he started crying. He put his head down and he said, Shabbos. Then he looked up at me with the tears in his eyes. Put his head down again. And said, Shabbos. The kid was never Machal Shabbos since. Sure, the Chafetz Chaim showed emotion. But was that emotion directed at the person who was the Machal Shabbos? Was that emotion anger? On the contrary, the Chafetz Chaim said nothing. It was just his emotion towards the importance of Shabbos that taught this child a lesson. And therefore, yeah, if you want to show the child the severity of the crime that he did, you show him how much his crime, how much his Chil Shabbos hurts you, how much whatever Aveira he did hurts you. But that doesn't mean to do something counterproductive and then get angry at him. Sometimes, depending upon the age of the kid and the kid, yeah, anger has its place, but we know it says that even when you're angry, you shouldn't really be angry. You should just make believe you're angry. But that's only after we've mastered the skill of giving toichacha with kavod. And sometimes there's an exception to the rule. But we have to first master the skill of giving toichacha with kavod. And if you want to show emotion, believe me, the Chafetz Chaim didn't get angry. But what are you asking in this piece of paper? Doesn't that show that to the Chafetz Chaim, Chil Shabbos isn't important? The answer is no. But if you want to show that Torah is important, that the issue is important, you can do it in other ways besides getting angry at the kid. And it's very simple. If it's important to you, the child will know it's important. Because it will come out. Chafetz Chaim wasn't putting on an act. Believe me, he was not putting on an act. The Chafetz Chaim was hurt by the Chil Shabbos of this kid. He was hurt. It's like somebody, Rahman al-Islam, died. That's the first thing. When somebody, even if somebody kills somebody, the first emotion is not anger at the Reitzeich, although that's also good. The first emotion is mourning, is sadness that somebody's dead. That's our first concern. That someone is someone died. And the first emotion that has to be shown is the sadness because this Aveira was committed. And then they'll see it's important. If anger, that doesn't mean it's important to you. It's important that the kid listen to you. But the issue you don't convey the message that the issue is important. Any other questions? Isn't it important to show emotion in things that you feel are important, both negative and positive? An emotional no shows a child how important the issue is. It isn't necessarily confrontational, etc. We discussed this question to an extent, the previous question. Just to add to this, there are a lot of emotions that you can inject within your no. You can inject a, well, of course no. A laugh maybe. You want to do what? Ha ha ha. That's also emotion. That also shows how, also emphasizes the no. Sometimes that's a better way to do it. Of course, you don't want the child to think that you're making fun of him or her. So it depends on the question. Sometimes a child will ask a question knowing that the answer is no and he'll be half laughing. If that's the case, you just continue the laughing. You agree with him, it's taka ridiculous. There are a lot of emotions that we can show, as we said, the Chafetz Chaim did it a different way, rather than anger. When you answer no, next question, even in a soft voice, they will ask enough times until they get you angry. Well, that wasn't a question, that was a statement. And the reason they will ask enough times until they get you angry is because they know that after a certain amount of times they will get you angry. You have to, after a certain point, you have to teach a child not to pester you. And you tell them, it's it. I don't want to hear again. And there are other ways to tell a child, I don't want to hear this question again without getting angry. You can tell to them in a calm voice, or else there will be consequences, but always in a calm voice. I want you to know, though, that I believe that the reason why children love to learn with computers much more than they do with teachers is not just because of the flashy colors and lights, but there's something else about computers. If you're on a computer and you make a mistake, computer says error. Make the mistake again. The computer says error. Make the mistake again. Abort, retry, ignore, fail. What do you want me to do? The computer will never say error, you fool. You hit the computer, what do you think, on the 20th time? They should make a program like that. That if you hit the enter button 20 times and you don't know what you're doing, the computer will say, error, you fool! Don't you listen to me? If you don't listen to me, I'm going to crash! The computer doesn't do that. That's why children love computers. That's why adults love computers too. It doesn't approve of what you do. It says clearly what you did was an error. But it says it with the same calm and the same nonchalance that it did the first time, the 50th time. And I'll tell you something. It's not only telling a child no about this. What do you do when you have to explain something to a child? What does it say in the Gemara? That if you have to explain to a child over and over, hundreds of times, that's what you should do? What rebbeim have the patience to explain something to a child over and over? Never mind if they have the time because they have to teach a class. But what about the patience? Who has the patience to say something over and over and over again calmly? Say, child never needs you to explain it to him 100 times over. Who has the patience? But we need the patience. Same thing with a kid. We need a lot of patience. I'm not saying to act like a computer and he just keeps saying, can I? And you say, no, can I? No, can I? No. Chances are that if you don't get angry, he'll give up. But if he doesn't give up, then you look at him and you say, I said no, in a very calm voice. And if you ask me again, such and such. Or if he asks me again, I'll be very upset, and the following consequences will happen. And if he asks you again, you very calmly mete out the consequences. He's going to learn very quickly that no means no. If he gets you angry, it's going to be a lot harder to teach him that no means no. He's going to think it's a personal issue. This way, children, divrei achomim benachas nishmoyim. Words of wisdom are heard calmly. And it doesn't mean merely that the listener is calm, it means that the words are calm also. Yesh boite kemad kero ischorev, veloshein chachomim merape. There are certain people that speak like the thrusts of a sword. But the words of wise people, wise words, heal. They don't sting like the thrust of a sword. They heal. They teach. They enlighten. They are moichiach.